Let's look at Genesis. We're going to talk about our spiritual authority and the dominion that we have through words. And I think when we do that, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1 and starting in verse 26. So let's look at 26, 27, and 28 in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over." So you just stop there. He put man, he made man to do what? Have dominion over all the works of his hands. But he goes on to say, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And I like in verse 26 of Genesis 1 in the New Living, I just like the way this says this. It says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over," and then he goes on to talk, but I like the term, "they will reign." God made man to have dominion, and he put man in this earth to subdue it, to have dominion. Well, we know that Adam missed God's direction, and that authority that he was given ultimately was turned over to the devil. But thank God, Jesus came and he took our sins. And of course, he's referred to in the scripture as the second Adam. But Adam was made as an exact duplication of God's kind. Adam was subordinate to God, but the earth was under Adam's control. So Adam was a man under authority. He was given authority. He was under authority, but he was given that dominion and authority here in the earth by God. He was made in the image and likeness of God. But let's look at Genesis 1 and John 1:1. Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1. And Genesis 1:1 in the King James, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And we see here, what does it say? God created the heaven and the earth. And John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we see here that in the beginning, what? God. And in the beginning, he created something. He created the heaven and the earth. And John 1:3, it says, "All things were made by him," you could say the Word, "and without him," the Word, "was not anything made that was made." So in the beginning, all things were made by him. The Word, God. He was the Word. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So God created the earth with words. And God used what? His faith, and when he created all things, he released his faith in what? In words. In his words. And we see that from Genesis 1:1, when he said, "Let light be," said, "Light be," and it was. There was no light before he what? Spoke. And so he used his words to create, and those words were carriers of his faith. So the same way, your words reflect your faith. God's word reveals to us how God created things. In Genesis 1, we can see it goes down. It indicates 10 times where he spoke and said, light be, and the sun and the moon. He created, he spoke. So those things we see, it took faith-filled words. It takes, as we say it this way, it takes faith to bring something from the unseen realm into the seen realm, and your confession is your faith speaking. So God tells us, we see from the Word of God that the spiritual realm exists, and it's what? Eternal. So Hebrews 11:1, we see here God reveals what faith is. And Hebrews 11:1, in the King James, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." And I want to read this from the Passion Translation. I think this is something more in a more modern translation. It says, "Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes," what becomes the foundation? Faith becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. So faith is now. This is where, in the spiritual realm, it exists in the spiritual realm. Whatever it is that you hope for exists in the spiritual realm, and faith has substance, and it brings that which is in the unseen realm over into the seen realm. So the things, we're not creating worlds, but those things that we speak create. We are made in the image and likeness of God. What does that mean? That means that the words that I speak carry or contain the substance of what I believe. And that comes out of where? Out of my heart, which is a spirit. So the things that I speak are spiritual. And yet they exist in the natural, but they have a spiritual substance to it. This word that's used in substance, this Greek word is actually, says to have a setting under, it supports, or it's an assurance or confidence. I have assurance that what I'm expecting is something that God has spoken in his word, which is what? Forever settled in heaven and cannot fail. His word cannot fail. He watches over his word to perform it. So I have assurance, and it is the support, or that which is underneath or supports that which I expect to come to pass. So whatever is promised in the Word of God supports that which I expect to come to pass. So I can speak that in faith, and it will come to pass if I've, what, meditated on that, and there is, what, revelation. It says faith, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema word of God. That which is revealed to you, then there's faith there. And faith then must be acted upon. So really what God is saying here is that the things that he spoke into existence, were released. He spoke words that created things in this seen realm. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, when I was a young man, and he went to heaven in 2012, but many remember R.W. Shambach. And he had a saying that, you know, everybody knew. He'd say, all you need is faith in God. And that's really a really interesting, you know, when you reflect on this, all you need is faith in God. And it takes faith to bring something, faith in God, to bring something over into this seen realm. If it's promised from God, that means it exists. It's a reality where? Not in the seen, but in the unseen realm where God's kingdom resides. And so Hebrews 11:3, which is another scripture we'll look at here, in the King James, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by how? The Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the things that we see were not created by things that we see. It was created by the unseen, which is what? Faith-filled words. Faith in Him. Faith in God. Well, God is a spirit. We don't see Him, but He does exist. He is a spirit. And so we are made in His image and likeness. That makes us a spirit. And the words that we speak are spiritual. And they're creative. And God has made us this way, that He's made man in His image and likeness for the purpose of having dominion. And yes, we know that Adam failed. He missed it. But Jesus came to do what? Pay for that transgression, because it says sin, it says the wages of sin of death, but it says every man has missed, or Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So sin was passed down through the flesh, through the lineage of mankind, and it took Jesus to come and break the power of that sin and become sin to restore the authority back to the body of Christ. It says He's the head of all things, Jesus. He's the head, but He didn't do it for Himself. He did it for the body, for all mankind, that this dominion could be restored to mankind, so that what? We can then have dominion here in this earth, and to do as He has shared through the Great Commission, go into all the world and share the good news of the gospel of what Jesus has done. So in this study of dominion through our words, let's take a look at Mark chapter 2. And this is the man with palsy. And of course, this is when Jesus came into Capernaum. And, you know, when we, you know, just making a point here that you can't see faith, but you can see the actions of faith. And this is why when Jesus said He saw their faith, this is the story of the paralytic man. And starting in verse 1, it says in Mark 2, it says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, meaning Jesus was. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was what? No room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. What did he do? He preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, because it's too crowded, they got up on the roof and uncovered the roof, where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick with the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So their actions was their faith being on display. So in other words, he, just like the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5, it said that she left, she heard of Jesus, and she said, she kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she went out into public, which she was forbidden to do because she had an issue of blood, and pressed her way through to touch Jesus. So it was her faith in action. It was her faith on display. That's what we're trying to say. In Matthew chapter 8, this is the story of the centurion. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5 is talking about how he entered into Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion. This is Matthew 8 and starting in verse 5, and it says, he came beseeching him. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now here's the thing. The centurion was not he was a Gentile. He was not in covenant as a Jew. So he really had no rights here to come and ask this of Jesus. He did not have a covenant, which is significant here. And then it says, grievously tormented, verse 7, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Right, he was not in covenant with him. And he said, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, so this means, what? He heard words spoken. He heard this man's faith. Or you could say he saw it. He heard it. And it says, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, even when this word that says, I have not found, this word actually means to perceive or see. So Jesus is saying, I haven't perceived or seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. And this man did what? He spoke dominion words. He spoke as a man under authority. And so the centurion did what? He released his faith in words that he spoke. Now let's look at another account. Jesus rebuking the wind and speaking to the sea in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. It says, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, he took him even as he was in the ship, or they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and saith unto him, or say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said, he spoke something. He said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He didn't even tell them little faith. He said they have no faith. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So remember, he came sinless, but Philippians said he set aside his divine privileges. So he operated as a man, but he also was God. So here, he was showing that man can operate with dominion. And then it goes on, even we could look at Mark 11, starting in verse 11. Mark 11, 11 in the King James. And it says, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And then it goes on and it talks further down. And then let's jump down to verse 19. Because it said he went into the temple and so forth. And then at verse 19, it says, and when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. He spoke to it. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So here in his earthly ministry, he's showing, number one, he's showing them that and speaking to his disciples that they could do just exactly what he just did to curse the fig tree if they did what? They spoke to it and doubted not, and that they believed that the thing they spoke to or the thing that they spoke will come to pass, they would have whatsoever they saith. And that's when he went back and he chastised them for being fearful about the wind and the waves. He said, you have no faith. And then he did what? He spoke to the wind and said, peace, be still, and it was. So faith, in order for to be, you know, what we would call faith, there must be a corresponding action. So James 2:14 in the New Living, in verse 14, it says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? And then it goes on to say, see, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? You could use whatever example. You could have something going on in your life, and if the word of God promises you he'll supply all my needs. I can do all things through Christ. What does that mean? That means that if I plant seed, if I'm sowing seed, I can expect to reap a harvest. So God's word is specific that I can have faith and expect something, and the faith is the substance or the undergirding or the support of what I'm expecting to come to pass. So we need to have faith, and of course in verse 26 of that chapter, James 2, it said, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Or you could say any kind of action. In other words, faith is dead without an action. You can say, I believe, but unless there's an action. And of course, the first action would be something you speak. And in 2 Corinthians 4:13, in the King James, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So God has a plan. He has a design, and that design was to redeem mankind through his blood, and then to restore the dominion that man lost because of sin. And so this wonderful plan of redemption was to restore the dominion that we lost to the devil here in this earth, and that God has restored that, and he wants us to walk in dominion, but that dominion is exercised through faith, faith-filled words. And then Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, and the King James, I'll read this in the King James. It says, God who at sundry times or various times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. And then it says, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3, who being, he's talking about Jesus Christ. He's saying, who being the brightness of his glory. Whose glory? God's glory. So Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. And it goes and it says, and the express image of his person. So Jesus is the express image of God's person. He is the exact expression of God's substance. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And God is wanting to live his life through us so that our lives, just like Jesus, are a reflection of God's glory. We are a reflection of God through Christ. And that's what the scripture shares in Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So God is wanting us to walk in dominion, to walk in love, to be a reflection of him in the earth. And Jesus said in John 10:30, when we talk about him being the express image of God, John 10:30 said, I and my Father are one. So he told him, he said, if you want to see the Father, if you want to know the Father, look at me. And so, boy, that stirred up a lot of feelings among the religious leaders. So Jesus meant by that he was the exact image of God. He was the express image of God. So he was upholding or upheld all things by the word of his power. And this goes on, of course, in verse 3. We're looking at Hebrews 1 and verse 3. It says, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, Hebrews 1, 3. And it says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So he upholds all things by the word of his power. The spoken word of God is his power. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 bears that out. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the word of God is the power of God, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. And so God is saying even to us that we have been given dominion and authority here in this earth, and that dominion is going to be exercised through the words of power that we speak, the word of our power. So the words that we speak have power in it. And again, let's look at Proverbs 18:21 in the King James. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So man is made in the image and likeness of God, that the words that we speak, the words that you could say the tongue, those things that we speak will either be carriers of life or death. They're either going to be death-filled words, negative words, words of doubt, words of fear, or they will be life-filled words, but they both will produce. And so, and that's what it says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. But what Jesus spoke and during his earthly ministry in Matthew 18:18, this is in the New Living Translation, it says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And so I'll just close with this comment that not this morning in prayer, but last Wednesday, there was such an unction to pray in that setting for Wednesday noon prayer, that one of the ladies shared something that she had seen in the spirit, and we all sensed it. We said, we're at the border. We're praying. It's the border. It's the border. We're praying. And we all rejoiced about that. And something the Holy Spirit said in my heart as we were praying after that, or picking up, you have a border in your life. What are you allowing across the borders of your life? You have to have some borders. There's boundaries where you're concerned. What are you letting across the borders in your life that you're permitting? Because that's what the scripture's saying. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. So there might be some things that you're permitting in your life that you have no reason to and shouldn't. You should be saying, I resist you, Satan. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from thee. So there's some things that we need to bind or forbid, and then there are some things we should permit, but then there's some things we shouldn't permit. We shouldn't allow. We shouldn't allow sickness and disease. We shouldn't allow worry. We shouldn't allow fear. That's what Jesus was speaking. He said, you have no faith. Why are you so fearful? When he spoke to the wind and said, peace be still. So God has, through Christ, restored the dominion that Adam lost, and we are seated with him in heavenly places with Christ, far above all principality and power and rulers of darkness. So now we've been given authority in Christ with what? The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And it says that through the blood and the words of our confession, or the words of our testimony, we overcome. So we can either forbid something, or we can just sit by and allow it and permit it. But I believe God is stirring the hearts of the church to awaken and to rise up and to take hold of the dominion and authority it's been given and begin to walk in that. And I believe we're seeing that. And so I'm excited to share this and meditate on it and begin to, you know, examine our own life. You know, not examining somebody else, but examining yourself and see where you need to make some changes. Walk in the dominion that Jesus paid for. And walk in that dominion. Take hold of the things that are promised in the unseen realm and command them to come over into this seen realm. Whether it's wisdom, whether it's understanding, you know, we pray in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to those who believe. So praying that and believing that God gives you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, because faith comes from an enlightened heart and an enlightened mind. So God bless you, and I'm just going to close with those thoughts. I enjoy sharing this. This is an exciting topic to me, because it's through the revelation of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God and the unfolding of His Word where this revelation will dawn on our hearts and will make the right corrections and adjustments in our life. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to share the Word of God. We thank you that it's dawning on our hearts. It's revealing in a greater measure, and we are walking in a greater revelation of the dominion you've given us, and we will not walk beneath our privileges, and we will walk in authority and dominion here in this earth, and we will take hold of the blessings and promises of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," then those that had a problem with that expressed it, but there were, I believe, more of those who came to him for help because they knew he was of God. And I believe the same thing for us. As we walk in our place of authority here in this earth, many will come to seek out help from us and wisdom from us and resources from us because of the revelation that we will walk in. And it will bless many. Amen. So let's, if you're here this evening, and you don't know Jesus, you've never asked him into your heart, the times that we're living in, you need to be sure that you are redeemed. You need to be absolutely convinced that if you were to die and leave this earth right now, you'd be absolutely sure when you left your body you were going to spend eternity with him. And if you're not sure, then now's the time to make that correction and make it right with him. And if that's you, if I'm speaking to you and you are not sure, then say this simple prayer and you can be sure. Say, Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth for me. I believe that he came to die for my sins and he took them to hell. And I believe that when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead. I was released from the shackles of death. And I was raised with him from the dead, along with Jesus. And I believe he is my Savior. And I believe he was raised from the dead. And I ask him into my heart. And I believe that he is my Savior, and I am saved and cleansed from all unrighteousness. And I am now right with God. Now, if you said that simple prayer and you meant it, then just get in touch with us, either email us or call us, and we will send some free information to you as to who you have just become and what you just did. Praise God.